Welcome to episode 171 of Between the Times, a podcast of Christ Church, for Christ Church, and for all who would care to listen in. My name is John Payne. I'm the senior pastor of Christ Church Presbyterian in Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Gabriel Williams, and today we are going to discuss the theology of vocation or the doctrine of work, and lots of different ideas going around these days about work and recreation and vacations and retirement. Exactly. And it's just a really good subject, I think, for us to discuss, Gabe, because there's so much misunderstanding about work, how we should be thinking about our work. Young people today will get a job and then have three side gigs where they are trying to actually make money on top of money without actually doing their primary job.
Exactly.
And we could go on and on about just the wrong views of work and weekends and retirement. And so, Gabe, let's talk a little bit about this theology of vocation for our listeners.
So I think, so before we get started, there are two books that I usually recommend about this topic, one older and one newer. So the older book is called The Religious Tradesman, Tradesman by Richard Steele. So this is a 17th century book, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It is how would a businessman who is a tradesman actually exercise and practice the Christian faith. And so it is both the doctrine of work and its ethics. How should a businessman conduct themselves? So if in terms of just a small kind of, in terms of a big picture overview, I think that's a good place to start. However, there's a modern book that came out within the last few years that is called Full Time, Work and the Meaning of Life by David Bahnsen. And I read this recently, and it's a great book because it deals with 21st century attitudes. Mm-hmm. And probably in terms of just starting off, the first major attitude issue that arises from the 21st century is that many people think of work as a necessary evil. So you work so that you can retire, so that you can do nothing except, you know, leisure and play around effectively.
Yeah, so the goal of work is to retire.
Yeah.
So the goal of work is not to work.
Exactly.
Which is a really skewed understanding of
it. And it's a backwards understanding, because if you think back to the book of Genesis, going in the first two chapters, there are institutions that God put into the very fabric of mankind, one of those being work itself. When Adam is placed in the garden, he is not just, you know, laying on the grass and doing nothing. Adam is given a task to actually tend the garden, to do it well. And that work was not, this was something before the fall. So that means this was always part of the original design of Adam himself.
Yeah, so let's land on that just for a minute, Gabe. Yeah. So Adam is made in the image of God,
exactly.
Right? So that means that that created in God's likeness, Adam is a worker.
Exactly.
God is a worker. God is at work.
Exactly.
And we are called to work, and we are made in his image to do so. So when we do not work, we are not carrying out actually the very purpose for which we were made,
exactly.
Right? Was to, I mean, obviously that's not the only reason we were made to work, but it's one of the primary reasons we were made to work. And so when we don't work, we will not find ourselves truly fulfilled in life.
Exactly.
Right?
And this is one of those things that is revealed both in Scripture and as a natural law argument. We know from Scripture that it is very clear that God made Adam in his image, gave him a particular task, and he was created, his body was made for that task itself. And so he spent Adam his time. There wasn't this idea in which Adam's worship to God was a completely separate concept from his work that he did in the garden. They were brought together in perfect harmony. That's why in a lot of ways you can think of the garden as a temple, and Adam is actually fulfilling his calling as a man doing that particular task of doing work. Now, that's the, you know, revealed aspect of it. And then there's just what we know by mere human observations. And this is something that our current society has very contradictory views on. There's one sense to say people, we don't really want to work, we want to work to retire. But we also know that when men in particular stop working, all sorts of social and physical and emotional problems happen.
Yeah.
And we know this by looking at what happens when depressions hit the economy. When there are great depressions or recessions in our economy, we know that male suicide increases substantially.
Yes.
And that's because men know intrinsically that if you're not working, there's a sense in which you are worthless. There's a sense in which there's something not, you're not fulfilling what you were made to do.
Yeah.
Some men can find ways to kind of deal with that mentally, but a lot of men take that very, very seriously because, again, you're going against your nature. You're going against what God designed for you to do. Now, the reason I say all that is because if that is true or since that is true, that means work should be seen as something that is honorable. It should be seen as something that is fundamental to our purpose. And so that means if you're trying to find your happiness in leisure, what this is arguing is that you're not going to find ultimate happiness in your leisure, in your hobbies. You're going to find your ultimate happiness in the task that you've been created to do.
Yes. And I think in the book, Bahnsen, he discusses the fact that we are living longer now than we ever have, right?
Yes.
So life expectancy has been protracted. And what that has done is it's actually created a kind of age of retirement in a way. Because when your average living span is, you know, to your late 50s or mid-60s, you don't have that kind of long retirement where your body is kind of, you know, getting older and breaking down, and you're resting. You can't kind of do the kind of same physical things that you do. But what this has all turned into, especially with our therapeutic entertainment-focused, leisure-focused culture, is that the ultimate goal for people is to retire as early as possible so that you can play golf and travel and walk beaches and pick up shells and do all these things. But what happens is you hear about it all the time, men, they work towards this their whole lives in order to retire early. So you have a really messed up view of work anyway, just that you're only working in order to retire, kind of doing what's necessary to get to that place. But then you get to that place and you lack fulfillment because God has designed you as a man. He's designed you to work. Now, we could get into as well the how God has designed women. Mm-hmm. And while we understand there's the Proverbs 31 woman who will do some work out of the home, it is primarily a woman's role to get married and have children and have a family and raise those children in the Lord and be a wife who partners with her husband and so forth. But in terms of men and work, it's so important to reinforce that you know, men oftentimes after their so-called retirement will go back to work. They will start a new business. They will once again begin to engage in the various, you know, activities that either they were involved in before or taking up new things in order to be productive. Because to live a life that is not productive, that's only being a consumer, will lead you to a place of depression and disillusionment and disorientedness, because that's not how God made you.
Exactly. And what this also means, and this is one of the major aspects of the doctrine of work, is that work that is, you know, again, we're talking about legal work. We're not talking about things that are fundamentally immoral, but it does mean that work as it is something to be rejoiced in, and it's something to actually really sink your life into. And so part of when I was younger, there was all of these calls of essentially you treat your work as something that is not really part of who you are as a person.
Yes.
You have your life that you really do your fun things, but then you kind of have to go to work because you have bills to pay. Here, this is the opposite that's basically being stated here in terms of the scripture. Work is not outside of you. Work is part of who you are as a person. So that means you need to lean into that. And this is part of what the doctrine of vocation is about, because to say that you're leaning into your work as what ultimately fulfills you is to say that work is part of your calling. So when we typically think of calling, we only really think of that in a fully religious sense, like the call to salvation, the actual preaching of the gospel, and the effectual call in the heart. Here, what we're referencing is the fact that the actual work that you do, that God has given you gifts and talents to do, if you just kind of consider this, you're going to spend 50 to 60 hours per week for probably 30 to 40 years in different types of jobs. But basically, you're going to spend over half of your life at work. And so the modern statement is to say, even though I spend half my life at work, I should really spend my whole heart and soul into my little hobbies I have on the side. What Bahnsen is arguing in the book is, if you're spending 50 to 60% of your life in useful work, that is where you will find God's blessing. That's where you will find fulfillment. That's where you will find your essential hope in that case. Not in the sense of salvation, you'll find that your productivity is actually what's going to give you a real sense of fulfillment, because you're, again, doing what you're designed to do.
You mentioned earlier the creation ordinances of work, marriage, and worship, okay, Sabbath. And we really need to see these things as the building blocks of not only our own lives, but also of society. You know, a good, healthy society is going to be one where the men are working, where there are healthy marriages, and where God is being worshipped.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really not that complicated, is it? But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment, of course, says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work." Okay, exactly. So the modern idea of the weekend, that somehow we deserve to have Saturday off, it's a modern invention, really. The old Protestant Puritan work ethic was communicating that we work hard for 6 days, and then we have one day of quote-unquote rest, not rest as in sleep in till 11, lay around all day, but rest as in rest from your work in order to focus your heart in a concentrated way upon the Lord in public worship, right? That whole concept, even among Christian believers, has been relatively abandoned.
Exactly.
Because of secularism and consumerism and sports. So I think we need to, just be reflecting upon in a fresh way this idea that we're called to work, that we find fulfillment in our work because God has designed us to work as made in his likeness. And that work is to be done unto the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, where was that? Colossians chapter 3, and I just had it. I'll find it in just a minute. But we are called to work as unto the Lord and not for men.
3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward.
Yes, you are serving the Lord Christ. So as we serve the Lord in our occupations, we should have the mindset as we go into our day, as we spend time with the Lord, as we dedicate the day to the Lord, as it were, that we ask the Lord, "Lord, help me to serve you in my work in a way that honors and glorifies you, that as I interact with, perhaps difficult people as I have opportunities to serve, that I would take them, as I have opportunities even in some context to share my faith, that I would take those opportunities, but that ultimately I would do my work as unto the Lord in an excellent way for his glory. And you will find fulfillment in that. I think that a lot of the reasons why we all get unfulfilled at times is because we become lazy and lackadaisical in our work, and we look for leisure and entertainment to be that which fulfills us. So we work to get to the place where we can be entertained, whether it's that night in front of the TV, or it's over the weekend in terms of whatever it is people are doing. People work to get to the entertainment and leisure rather than working for the sake of work, for the glory of God, and because he just made us to do so. It's a totally different approach.
Exactly. And I'll add here, again, about the nature of work. Now you can kind of speak about what does Christian ethics mean when we apply it to work. And so first thing I will always say is that work is honorable, and you should not think that certain jobs are beneath a person.
Right.
And this means that the sort of effort and zeal that, say, a janitor would do is still required by the Christian confession. That a janitor should not shirk responsibilities because he thinks this job is low paying or beneath him. That's not how a Christian thinks. Because your work is to the Lord, even the most menial of jobs, so to speak, is what is valuable. And that's one of the things we teach teenagers regularly. If you're a teenager, you don't have the skills to make a, you're not going to basically make a lot of money because, again, you're a low-skilled worker. But what are you learning? You're learning the diligence and the effort and the service needed to basically improve into the future.
And some welfare systems in our own country and in the United Kingdom, you can actually make more money sitting at home doing nothing and watching TV and living off the government than you can by getting an honorable job like being a janitor. In fact, I was made known of a story of a young man who actually went back to work as a janitor and then quit after 2 months because it was hard, and he realized that he could make more money sitting at home and receiving checks from the government. But that is where we see depression, drug use, suicide, just as you said at the outset of this episode, because God has made us to work. And if we do not work, we do not carry out our responsibilities, then we will be disillusioned.
Then second, what I want to emphasize is, this is something that Martin Luther speaks about often, is that it is not God who needs your work. It is your neighbor who needs your work. And so part of work in terms of being diligent is because this is actually how you love and serve your neighbor. And so one of the things that it's important for Christians to understand is that laziness and lack of diligence actually reflects in the service that is sent to your neighbor. And so if you're shirking all your responsibilities at work, it is not just a poor reflection upon you and a poor reflection upon the Christian faith. It means that you're not loving your neighbor as you should. And so one of the motivations for working very hard, in addition to the success you will have, is because this is actually how your neighbor is loved and served in practical types of ways. Amen. And then what I will also kind of add here, and this is now really kind of why this idea of work, I think, from Bonson's book is important, is because ultimately what we are looking at is a world around us that treats work with such a low view that there are so many unethical things that happen routinely at work. And every profession has their own ways of doing this. And so as a professor, for example, I'm aware that there are lots of shortcuts that some faculty will actually take because, again, you don't think work is where you find your fulfillment. You find it elsewhere. So plagiarism, forging data, all sorts of things happen in that world. Now, many people listening, you can probably think to yourself about your own profession, and you can see how lack of diligence and a lack of true love for your work leads to all sorts of unethical practices. Think about all the workplace theft that happens routinely. thinking about people who show up 15 to 20 minutes late. They leave 30 to 35 minutes early.
Hey, you've stolen the time of the...
You've stolen the time of your employer in that case. And this is where Richard Steele's work, The Religious Tradesman, really harps upon this for Christians, is that if you are a Christian businessman or you're in business and you share the actual confession of faith, this means that your integrity must be of the highest order. So just as you ought to be considered blameless when it comes to your Christian character, where do you demonstrate that? It is at your work. So again, you read in the New Testament various passages that you should behave in the utmost honorable way among outsiders. Well, don't abstract that. We know where that happens. In our modern society, you are with outsiders at work. If your integrity matches that of the world, there's no Christian witness that is there. If you are engaging in the same sorts of low character behavior that you see your other employees doing, again, it doesn't represent and honor the profession of the gospel. One of the things that Richard Steele mentions, and I think it's a beautiful way to consider your work, is that consider diligence of work as a way to adorn the gospel of God. And so we all know that an unbelieving world looks at Christians with a skeptical and a critical eye. And it's very easy for a skeptical world to see the lack of integrity that can be displayed by Christians at their work. But what actually adorns and makes the gospel beautiful to outsiders is to see the demonstration of it in their day-to-day task. And so again, think about your job as a whole. Are you the sort of person who is diligent in your work? Do people see you and recognize that you are faithful, reliable, dependable, you're doing your tasks as you ought to? That actually adorns the gospel. It means that the profession of faith is not going to be in effect canceled out by wicked and unethical behavior. But again, you will never get to that place if you think your work is accidental to who you are. When you take personal pride in your work and you realize that God has called you to your particular job at this time, that could be the case if you're a man working outside the home. That can be the case if you are a business owner working in a home. It can be true for wives in the home who are homemakers. That is also a form of work that requires diligence, care, and professionalism. All of those things are going to be matters that actually demonstrate that you're living out the Christian faith.
Amen. And as we close, it's important to remember that the Sabbath day is the first day of the week. It's the day that Christ rose from the dead. It's a day of discipleship, a day of renewal, a day of encouragement, a day of fellowship, a day where God himself, as with his very hand, feeds us upon his Son, the bread of life, in which we are nourished and strengthened in our faith. And it's from that first day of the week then that we launch into the 6 days of work. And we should really view our Christian lives according to this biblical paradigm, that we, the first thing we do, just as it was for Joshua and the people of Israel before they went into the battle, they were to be still and to know that he is God. We begin our week like that. That's our spiritual preparation, as it were, our spiritual nourishment. And so we rest in the Lord for the glory of God and for the nourishment of our own souls, so that when we launch into our 6-day work week, that we are spiritually minded, that we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and not upon the things of this world. And so when it comes to work and all these things that we've been discussing, we are certainly not saying that we live only to work.
That's right.
We work in a way that, as Gabe was saying earlier, where we recognize that our work is not separated from us, as if it's just something that we do in order to get to the weekend or get to our leisure. A work is a part of us, and we are called, this word vocation, it means call in the Latin, vox, to call. We have a vocation in which we honor and serve and glorify God It's a part of who we are. We will find great fulfillment in that, but not ultimate fulfillment. Mm-hmm. The ultimate fulfillment comes in the one that essentially we work unto, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose for us. Our salvation is complete and secure in him. And from that place of resting in him, then we are able by his spirit and strength to work as unto him for his glory and to be a witness in this world. And so I hope this has been helpful to our listeners. We really do want to shake things up a little bit on this podcast. We do believe that a very skewed view of work has developed in our culture and that we've all been impacted by it.
That's right.
And so may this help us to get us thinking a little more in the right direction today. Well, thank you so much for being with us on Between the Times, and we hope you'll join us for our next episode.